When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, welcome to Profoundly Pointless. My name is Nick. Coming up in this episode, we're going to explore the life of a Las Vegas showgirl and then find out who's really the best at Mario Kart.
Long story short, I broke my ankle and my mom was like, "You are such a fabulous little dancer. Go to Las Vegas and be a Las Vegas showgirl." And I was like, "Ugh, I'll try, Mom." And then I did my first topless show in Laughlin because I was like, "Oh, you know, it's Laughlin. No one's going to see me. And if anybody does, I'll just deny it. And then I'll just say I never did it." And the second I went down there and did it, I was in love. It was like the most freeing thing ever. Pacquiao was punching, I think it was Cota. And like blood was going everywhere. And I think I got blood on me being in the front row. And I was just
a bricklayer who's doing that. And that's impressive to me. All right.
Out of everything, you had to pick a bricklayer.
Yeah. What do you got against bricklayers?
I have nothing against bricklayers.
Seems like you do.
This is really embarrassing, but I'm going to say it anyways. I'm a sucker for like candle sales. He's number two.
I understand that idea that like he has to be up there simply because he is like it's Mario Kart and he's Mario. But he's just not that. It's like, who are you going to pick? Ooh, Mario. What kind of ice cream are you going to get? Ooh, vanilla.
I want to thank you guys so much for listening. If you get a chance, like, download, subscribe, share. We really appreciate it. It really helps us out. So really quickly, think of Las Vegas. One of the first things that comes to my mind is showgirls. Joining us on this show is one of the best out there because she's not just a showgirl. She's a professional dancer. She's a model. She's been a ring girl at some of the biggest fights, and she's the associate producer of Fantasy at the Luxor, which is one of the longest-running shows. This is Mariah Rivera.
How did you kind of get started on this career path, so to speak?
Well, I've danced since I was 3 years old, and I just always loved being on stage, and I actually played sports growing up. Had a bunch of scholarships to play basketball, and long story short, I broke my ankle, and my mom was like, "You are such a fabulous little dancer. Go to Las Vegas and be a Las Vegas showgirl." And I was like, "Ugh, I'll try, Mom." And came out to Vegas, auditioned, and I've been out here professionally dancing for 15 years now. So I've been very lucky.
When you go through that audition process, like how old were you at the time?
I was 18.
Did you know anybody out there, or did you just head straight out to Vegas?
My dance teacher, her daughters were out here, and so they kind of like walked me through it, and I lived with one of her daughters for about 3 months till I got on my feet. But the audition process was hard, because I didn't have any clue what I was doing, but eventually you just figure it out, but it's tricky.
Now, did you get it on the first audition, or did you have to do it multiple times in different places?
I think at that point, there was lots of auditions in Vegas, so there was like one or two a day, so I went to probably 10 before I booked my first one, which took about a month, which really isn't long, but in my head, I was just felt like, oh, I'm just a failure. I just keep going to these things, and everyone's wearing hip-hop clothes, and I'm wearing showgirl clothes, and I'd go to the next audition wearing hip-hop. Like, it was just completely, it took a minute to get, like, what show I was auditioning for and what, you know, what everyone would be wearing. So then I would just go super early to auditions and then change in the bathroom when I saw everybody else walk in. And I just literally bring like a closet full of clothes. I'm like, I have no idea what I'm doing.
Like, were you out of place necessarily, or was it just a process of figuring out like what you're supposed to be doing?
I was completely out of place. Like, I didn't know, like, I didn't have a headshot, a resume when I first showed up to the auditions. I'm from a small town, Grand Junction, Colorado, and I really had no interest in being a performer and just kind of fell into it. Dumb luck, really. And luckily, I had danced my whole life, so I was capable of doing it, but I was very, very embarrassing. Looking back, I would cringe, I'm sure.
Yeah, but I feel like everybody feels that way about the way that they acted at 18.
Yeah, that's true.
Is there a style of dancing that you necessarily specialized or specialize in?
Growing up, I took tap, ballet, and jazz was my main thing. But like nowadays, everyone has like So You Think You Can Dance and all these amazing tricks. And I'm definitely not in any caliber of that kind of dance anymore. I'm an older dancer a little bit, so I have no interest in hurting myself. And I love performing. So whatever I can do to get through my dance, like be able to perform on stage, that's, I guess, would be my specialty, not necessarily like, oh, lyrical or contemporary or gymnastics. I love to perform, so I can make anything look decent, I'll say.
When people think of like a showgirl dancing, is that, I mean, the first thing that comes to my mind is kind of the big headdress walking around. Is that what it is, or is that something else?
Traditionally, that is the Las Vegas showgirl. I mean, that's, you know, the beauty, the, you know, beautiful lines, the legs, the headdresses, the feathers, the sparkles. That's why I came to Vegas. That's, you know, everything that I wanted to do. I'm a little short for like the super tall showgirl shows. Like I auditioned for Jubilee, but I was an inch too short. And at the time they were not taking anybody shorter than 5'8". So I never got to do that show, which that was a beautiful show. But I did get to do a lot of showgirl shows. And the current show that I'm in, Fantasy, is kind of a modern take. It's we wear the headdresses for one number, but it's definitely more modern, more today.
Is it that specific when they're looking for somebody? Like, sorry, we need someone who's 5'8", and you're 5'7¾".
Absolutely. It depends on I don't think it's as strict anymore, but like Jubilee had like a super tall line, and so then they had places, and it's still, auditions can be very specific. If they're looking for something like our show, I'm a company manager and associate producer, so it's fun to be on the other side auditioning people. But amazing dancers could come through, and if we, you know, just lost a blonde in the show, that's really what we're casting for. So at that time, even if, you know, you're not chosen, that doesn't mean we didn't like you. It was just we were specifically looking for a blonde to fill that spot, and then...
Is that a struggle for people? Because we've talked to some actors and people who are in entertainment and other podcasts, and they said that they've kind of said the similar thing, that like it's not necessarily about just being good. If they're not looking for a certain type and you're not that type, you're not getting that job. Does that wear on you?
It definitely, when I was auditioning, it was really hard. Like it was definitely, you have to get a thick skin. You have to not mentally, you know, be like, oh, I'm terrible, I didn't get this job. Like you just have to know the business.
Are they looking for good dancers, or are they looking for something else, so to speak?
Especially Fantasy. I've done lots of other shows where it was just the dancing or just the right look. But we do so many interviews, charity work. We go in front of the media a lot. You have to be able to speak. You have to be kind. You have to be beautiful. You have to be an amazing dancer. And then you have to be able to perform on our stage. Some people, because we only have 8 dancers a night, do much better in like a chorus type show where they're, you know, really good backup dancers. And this show, you really need to have that special it factor and be able to stand out on your own with other amazing dancers. We like all 8 dancers to have their own quote unquote fantasy with the audience and really be a strong performer and entertainer. So it's really hard when we're looking for new cast members, because you have to have all of the characteristics.
You said that you were an associate producer, so are you still actively dancing, or are you more behind the scenes now?
I dance 6 nights a week in the show.
Do you have like sick days? I mean, can you call out? Is it like a regular job?
It is. Our show is lucky because we do run 7 days a week, so we have lots of extra swings so that everyone gets a day off. I've definitely been in shows where if we were 6 days a week, you were there every single day. And if you weren't, then you were going to get fired if there was any reason why you could. I mean, I've had food poisoning and been throwing up in the wings, and then my dance captain's pushing me on stage like, you have to go. It doesn't matter. So our show is much more like a regular job. We have, you know, our boss, Anita Mann, is absolutely amazing. She gives us the full-time girls, sick days. She really, really takes good care of us. So I'm very lucky.
What goes into putting on a show?
Oh, a lot.
Is that
our show?
Is that too broad of a question?
definitely starting a show is a lot harder. Anita started Fantasy 20 years ago, so I wasn't around for all of the initial stuff that goes into that. That whole process is beyond hard work. You have to get costumes. I think Anita had 6 weeks to write a show, put a show, cast a show, get costuming before it went on stage at the Luxor for the first time, which in 6 weeks is a huge feat. So I wish I was around for that, but I know she obviously did a great job and it runs pretty smoothly. So I do a lot of work, but we're kind of a well-oiled machine now that it's tricky, but it's not unbearable, if that makes sense.
Is the tricky part of it necessarily the dancing and the dance routines, or is it more the kind of people management, so to speak?
Both. Every year, this show is different because some shows will just stay the same for years and years. And we change the show every year. And we do a big calendar release in October always. So like right now we're in the process of, we just learned 3 new dance numbers from choreographer Mandy Moore, who is amazing. She was on So You Think You Could Dance and all the shows. She's just amazing. But she choreographed 3 new numbers. So we've been in rehearsal for a month learning those shows, and so we're trying to put them into the show. So this is always like our busiest time of the year, where we're, you know, on stage working on lighting and making sure all of our dancers know the new numbers. But then once those go in, it's really, you know, we do the show every single night. So if you didn't do it right one night, you're going to get it right the next night. You just keep going. I mean, I really wouldn't call my job hard, but if it was, it's, you know, keeping everybody happy. I try to keep a nice calm room, smooth it out as much as possible.
Essentially, I mean, how much do you make? Like, do you make a pretty good living doing it, or do you have to kind of have side projects?
I do make a good living just doing the show, but I love to do extra gigs. I think I probably do 2 or 3 extra gigs a week, mainly because I have amazing agents and they always want to put me on these really fun events. And I went to school for accounting, so I really do like money. I like to make it. I like to count it. And a dancer and a model's career is so short. It's a little bit longer in Vegas, which is I'm very lucky. But I know at some point my phone will stop ringing and stop wanting me for certain things. And I'll stop wanting to do extra things too, I'm sure. So right now I just take advantage and take everything that I can get because I am very lucky that they still call me.
Is that just kind of the business, or do you feel like that's not fair that once people kind of lose their looks, so to speak, that they're out?
I mean, that's a good question. I do think it's just part of the business, and I think everybody that is in show business knows that. And if you don't work hard to either transition into like a management type of entertainment or transition to being a singer or get different shows where age doesn't matter, eventually everyone will, and your body can't do what it did when it was 18. It's just unfortunate part of life, and if you can't physically do the job, then you're out.
it's
just part of show business.
That's what I was going to say. It's just kind of thing that it's okay if everybody knows the rules of the game. Does that make sense? Is that a way to put it?
Yes, I 100% agree with that.
So the first time that you walked out in front of a big audience, what was that like?
Oh, I mean, because since I played sports, like I've danced my whole life. Like I was always the one, like if it was last set, you know, there was 3 seconds on the clock. I always wanted to be the one with the ball. I always wanted to, you know, we'd have like stadiums full of people watching our games, and we were really good. And so a huge audience is so much, it's like, it's a calming for me. As soon as I see the people, it's like my heart lights up, everything. So the bigger, the better the audience is for me. I can't think of one specific time where I was just like, oh my God, this is it. But every time I go on stage and there's an audience, it just makes my heart so happy.
Is that because more of like, I'll use this word, but I don't necessarily mean this word? Is that more because of the attention that goes along with it? Or do you just like the performance aspect? Or is it kind of a combination of both?
I think it's a combination of both. I think anybody that trains hard, that works hard, that puts a lot of time into their craft wants to be able to share it with everybody. And I've just always been that way. I'm sure it's the attention. It's so funny. Like I could dance in front of a million people, but I was so deathly shy growing up. I literally could not talk in front of like 3 people. I would literally like lose it if I had to give like a speech and class.
That's so interesting that people are kind of contradictions in that sense, you know, that you're very nervous and shy about some things and completely not about others, and you have a career as a showgirl, but you went to school for accounting. Those are kind of interesting to me.
I'm a very non-traditional showgirl. I think because I didn't really ever set my goal of it. And, like, I know kids that danced and they were in competition. They were competition dancers, and then they went to college for dance. And it just makes sense that they would be dancers. Me, I've kind of always just been good at anything that I try. Not, you know, not the best or not the great, you know. And so I've always had options. I'm like, oh, I don't know what I really want to do because it's, you know, I could go this way or I could, you know, do this. Or I like to make money, so, you know. Corporate America, that seems like the safest route. And but then, you know, this is my show business side. I'm like, oh, well, that sure seems fun for a little bit. And 15 years later, I'm still doing it. So obviously it is where I'm supposed to be, but I kind of always works out for me, luckily, knock on wood.
Are you a similar, like the most showgirls, are they in it for kind of the long haul? I mean, are they going to be in the business for 5, 10, 15 years, or are they kind of flash in, flash out?
We have a mixture of all. I think, you know, some people just want to come to Las Vegas and do the showgirl headdress thing and get their pictures for Instagram. And then, you know, 6 months later, they're like, okay, next, now I want to try hair school or, you know. But then you have, our show is very lucky. I think the longest a girl's been in fantasy is 15 or 16 years.
Do you guys have to retry out?
We don't make our current dancers re-audition, but we do get contracts every year. And, you know, like if a girl, let's say, gains weight, we're like, okay, you know, let's, you know, you're kind of, you know, not on path to where you need to be. So let's try to get you on path. And then if for whatever reason they can't, then sometimes my boss will put them down to a swing contract until they get their, you know, whatever issue is. But we rarely have that problem. So. And our boss is so loyal. So usually as long as a girl wants to stay and she's still at her top of her game, she can usually stay as long as she wants.
Now, when you're kind of dancing in a show or being a showgirl, do you have other commitments that you have to do outside of it? Like, is public appearances part of that, or is that more optional?
No, as a full-time fantasy girl, we can do up to 3 events a week per our contract. For the same rate. If we do more than that, our boss will pay us extra. But we usually, like, new show openings, we do a lot of red carpets, we do a lot of charity work, we do a lot of, like, the call centers and different people to keep promoting our show. We walk around the lobby of Luxor handing out coupons, because it takes a lot to keep a show running and keep it fresh and keep people in the seats. So we're definitely contracted to do a lot of appearances and be make it known that we're still here.
Is fantasy the one that was that had the girls next door person in it, or is that something else? Am I thinking of something else?
That was Peep Show. And
okay.
That came in and that was only I think it was in Vegas for 4 years, which was a great show, but it's really hard to keep a show running and everything keeps closing. It's really sad as a dancer, because all of your options go away. You're like, oh, I want to try this show and this show, and everything keeps closing. So I'm definitely not moving away from fantasy.
Are people coming to less and less showgirl kind of shows? Are they getting away from that?
I think when most of the shows closed, it was more of a DJ scene where the DJs became really hot. So all of the hotels kind of jumped on the bandwagon, like, we don't want shows. Let's just have, you know, big nightclubs and DJs, and that'll really bring the money in. And I think a lot of shows lost their footing during that time. Because there was a point where, like, every single week I would hear of another show closing, and it's, I mean, as a dancer, especially, I mean, they don't pay us like a headliner, like a Celine Dion. We're definitely doing it for the love of dancing, not to become rich. But every time I hear a show closing, it's just like these people, you know, come to Vegas, build homes, build families. And when a show closes, it's heartbreaking specifically for the dancers who my heart goes out to.
A typical audience. Is it men? Is it women? What does a typical audience look like?
We have a really wide range of, of audience members. Luckily, we're usually sold out, and our theater seats about 350 people. And there's rarely been a time in the 11 years that I've done fantasy that it's not almost completely full. We have a large Asian demographic that comes and sees our show, which is amazing. It ranges from couples, bachelor parties, bachelorette parties. Like, my family has seen it probably 15 times. My grandma loves it. She brings all of her, she's part of the Red Hat Society. So she, and just, she's so proud. She's like, that's my daughter, the one in the middle. She's, you know, I'm like, oh, but I love it. I'm very lucky to have a family that is very open, because it is a topless show that is very supportive of it. And especially when they come see it, it's so not what you think it would be. It's not, you know, it's very classy. It's different than I think what middle America thinks about it. But once you see it, then it's like, oh, that's no big deal. Luckily my family thinks that.
Yeah, that's, is that odd to kind of have like, grandma seeing you like that, or do you just, you don't think about it? Like, how does that work?
She wasn't as weird. The weirdest person was my dad to come and see the show, because he was my high school basketball coach, and we just were so, I was, you know, we'd talk about sports, and, you know, just, you know, that rugged farmer coach type guy. So when he came and saw the show, he didn't really say much after. He just kind of like gave me like a punch in the arm, was like, you did good, kid. I was like, okay, that's all I can expect from him. But I mean, he's so proud, but he's not going to go into detail about, oh, this part was my favorite. And, you know,
I grew up in the Midwest too. I grew up in Kansas, which I feel like, oh, nice. Colorado's kind of the same. Like, I know that's, yeah, exactly. I know exactly that dad response, like, can't show, yep, real emotion.
Yep. For sure. Yeah. He's,
yeah, it's probably, I mean,
he's funny.
Whatever. Were you ever nervous about the topless aspect of it? Did you ever have second thoughts about that? Or did you, how did you approach that?
When I moved here, I was very against being topless. Like, I wasn't sure, you know, at 18, I wasn't sure if I was going to, you know, run for office or do, you know, like, I had so many lofty dreams. And I was like, you know, I definitely can't have that on my resume. But then I would go to the covered auditions, and there's like 300 girls there, and not that I'm, that's where, like, those auditions were the ones that were like, oh, this is really hard. But then for a topless audition, usually you'll get about 20 dancers. So I'm like, I like those odds way better, obviously. And then I did my first topless show in Laughlin, because I was like, oh, you know, it's Laughlin, no one's going to see me. And if anybody does, I'll just deny it. And then I'll just say I never did it. And the second I went down there and did it, I was in love. It was like the most freeing thing ever. It's different. I didn't think I would love it, and I fell in love.
Do some girls, some of the new ones, do they struggle with that? I mean, or are they usually, they know what they're getting into necessarily? Not to imply that that's anything, if that came out in a bad way, I didn't mean it that way, but just in the sense, like, do they know what they're getting into, or some, they get stage fright right for that first time?
I think because there's so much going on with the choreography and the blocking and the new girls. And like, so when you're actually about to do it, there's so much, you don't even have time to think about it, because it's, and by the time you take your top off, it's like, oh, did that actually even happen? Because you're literally thinking and performing and doing so many other things at the same time that, for me at least, it wasn't a big deal. I think the only time it is harder for people is when their family's not on board with it. And I think that's the real struggle. I've definitely seen some parents that just, I mean, not disown a kid, but really aren't for it. And those are the girls that usually end up struggling with it, and then usually don't stick with it very long, which is sad.
Is there, I mean, what's, after you kind of do one of these shows, like, do you meet the guests? Are people, how do people react, I guess, afterwards?
It depends. We do a meet and greet every night after the show, so we get instant reactions from the audience. And I mean, most people love it, and most of the women will come up and be like, I had no idea what to expect. I bought this for my husband's birthday, or, you know, whatever they say. And they're like, but I was really blown away, because our singer Lorena Perel is so talented, our comedian Shawnee Cooper is so funny, and then our dancers are so amazing dancers. I look at them all the time. I'm like, I can't even believe I get to dance with them on stage. But then the women are just like, it's so non-threatening. It was so entertaining. I'm so glad I came. And then they'll come back. They usually come back. And we've had guests that have seen the show over 100 times because they just keep coming back. You get a few random people that are like, you know, does your dad know what you do? Or does your husband know what you do? And I'm like, I mean, of course, like, I don't understand that question. It's like, no, every single day I leave my husband and I say, oh, honey, going to work, but I'm not going to tell you where.
Yeah. What a weird,
like, it's just, it really is.
That question makes no sense to me because, like, they knew what they were going to go see. Why would they then, like, I'm offended by the thing I knew I was going to go watch. Like, then why'd you watch it?
It's bizarre, but I mean, I think sometimes people get so nervous too, like they don't know what to say. And so then we're, you know, shaking hands and taking pictures and I think it's their nerves and their insecurities coming out.
Do you ever kind of get the perv guy, so to speak? Do you ever get propositioned and things like that?
Absolutely. Luckily, I mean, I always wear my wedding ring always in the show. So it's the easiest to be like, oh, you know, I would love to, but you know, I'm married. I mean, you know, cause you're still on, you're still performing. You're still part of that fantasy, that character. So our boss wants us to, you know, obviously be as polite and as businesslike as possible. But sometimes those questions, you're just like, if we weren't here right now, I would literally be killing you. Usually there's security around. So if someone's really inappropriate or out of line, we can usually step in and we don't have to handle it as much and just let security be like, okay, sir, it's time to go. That's enough of creeping out the girls. But that rarely happens. We really have great audience members and they're, you know, a lot of people are just curious. And so then the questions that they ask are just, you know, warranted. And they're just curious on how we got to where we're at now. So
is there a goal moving forward? Is there a dream moving forward? Or are you kind of just, you're doing this now and see what happens?
Yeah, I'm kind of, when I was 18, I had a best friend that was auditioning at the same time. We just kept getting the same shows together. And I remember telling her, I was like, if I'm a 30-year-old showgirl, please come and shoot me. And then my 30th birthday happened, and now I'm 35. And I'm like, oh, if I could just be a 40-year-old showgirl, I would be so happy. If I was good, if I still can hold up, I would be so fortunate and blessed. It's just funny how, you know, different times in life you... So right now I'm just enjoying performing, enjoying people asking me for my autograph after the show, enjoying all the opportunities that I've been given and get to do. Like, we just get to do so many amazing things. And it's like, we just are working with Terry Bradshaw right now. And as a sports girl, I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. Like, he's so funny and great. And because I know the end will eventually come. I'm just letting it ride and just seeing how far it can go.
Like Terry Bradshaw?
Yeah, he's going to do a show at the Luxor, and my boss, Anita, is producing his show. So he has a 4-day show at the Luxor, August.
What would you say to somebody that might say, okay, well, this is exploiting women, or this is not what women should be out there doing? Do you get that at all?
Only a little bit. I mean, that the concept has come up in conversation, but I feel like it's the opposite of that. I feel like it's so freeing. I feel like it's so women taking charge of their life and we chose, like, no one's pushing us to go up there and, you know, do what we're doing. It's absolutely like girl power, sexy women. We're not afraid to show our bodies. There's nothing wrong with a female body. And we're just showing how beautiful and how classy we are. And it happens to be topless, but that's our choice. And that's freeing. And that's so modern, I feel.
Does the other side of it bother you, or do you think that that's just what somebody else's opinion is, or do you think they have a valid point? What do you think about the other side of that necessarily?
It depends on the day. It definitely can bother me. Obviously, I can't take back anything that I've ever done. So anytime if I were to go audition for a corporate job, I mean, it's who I am. And if they have a problem with it, you know, I can talk like I'm all tough and like I don't care, but obviously I care what people think about me, and it would depend on the situation, but usually I can brush it off. But if someone's really adamant against me as a human because of the jobs that I've had, then obviously that's not a person that I need or want in my life. So you kind of have to.
That makes sense. It depends on kind of who says it, when they say it, and how they say it. Like, I understand that.
Yeah.
Are you ready? Are you ready for the hard questions?
Sure.
What is your strangest Vegas experience?
Oh, strangest Vegas experience. Oh my God, there's so many. I wouldn't say my strangest moment, but definitely my best moment in Las Vegas was when I was a ring girl for the Pacquiao boxing match. Like, that was a dream come true. It was literally like all of the excitement. Derek Jeter and Will Ferrell were in the audience, and there's just like a star-studded thing. That was really like, oh my God, I've made it. This is really, really cool. And I love sports. So like they were, you know, Pacquiao was punching, I think it was Cota. This was a few years ago, and like blood was going everywhere, and I think I got blood on me being in the front row, and I was just like a little tiny clip was on ESPN of me, and I was like, as an athlete, oh my God, like I was on ESPN. That's so cool.
I was gonna ask you about that, because we purposely kind of do very, very little research so that it just comes out as more of like a free-flowing conversation. But you were I'm kind of a boxing fan. I don't know anything about it, but I like to watch it. What's that like being a ring girl?
That was amazing. My goal or my dream was to be a UFC ring girl, because they have, you know, very special ring girls, and they, you know, treat them, and they have the same ones. But this is the boxing, when it was at MGM, they didn't have consistent ring girls, so they would always have just different anybody. Like MGM Corp would find girls, and so my agent was the one that contacted me about it, and I knew it was just going to be a one-time thing, so like I knew like this is the absolutely take everything in from this experience, because you might not ever be able to do it again. And it was just, I mean, I think I called my mom, I was crying, it was just like, this was so cool, this was definitely a highlight of my life so far. I think it was probably about maybe 10 years ago. Oh, I forgot.
How many times have you seen Showgirls?
Probably 15.
Like,
yeah, it's so cheesy, and it's so, I hated it when it first came out, but now it's kind of like that cult classic, because I loved Jesse Spano on Saved by the Bell, so I was like, oh my God, she's gonna be great. And it's so bad. It's such a bad movie, but it's so endearing.
Cracks me up. Does it have any kind of resemblance to what life is really like, or is it just way off base?
Take away all the negativity and like the fighting between the cast and like pushing her down the stairs and that whole thing, take away all of that storyline, and it really is like the dressing room's the same, what it's like backstage, all of that stuff. But they definitely played up her storyline as being a crazy person, and there are crazy people like her, like that try to come into Vegas and try to, you know, step on whoever they can to get to the top. But we're just such a small community, believe it or not. Like, Las Vegas is just so small that we all see those people coming a mile away, and they usually burn themselves out in the first 6 months, and then they're gone. So we don't, yeah, especially my show. I hate negativity. I hate attitudes. I hate divas. It's just not needed.
Better Broncos quarterback, John Elway or Peyton Manning?
Oh, that is the toughest question of all time. I was such a John Elway fan. Oh, but then Peyton came in and stole my heart. I think out of the lifespans, if we're only thinking what Peyton did with the Broncos, it'd have to be John Elway. But I think Peyton Manning as a quarterback overall is better than John Elway.
Who is your favorite Mario Kart character?
Probably Luigi. My sister always got to be Mario. And then my littlest sister always was the princess, and so then I was always stuck being Luigi, but then I got a fondness for him. So I would say Luigi.
Luigi's a good sleeper one.
That makes sense.
Is there anything else that you think we've missed? Anything that you got you want to get out there? What's coming up for you?
Really, our 20th anniversary of Fantasy is really what we're focusing on, and 20 years is such a huge accomplishment, I think, for anybody or any show. So that's really what we've been focusing on this whole summer. Is in October. October 10th is going to be our big media night calendar release. We're inviting some special people to our show that night, so it's going to be very exciting for everybody. But that's really my focus for the next couple months, is putting together a great show and making sure we last another 10, 15, 20 years would be amazing.
I want to thank Mariah so much for joining us. If you want to connect with her, we have linked to her on our social media accounts. We're Profoundly Pointless on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Her social media accounts are way more interesting than ours, and she also has some pretty cool giveaways that she does sometimes. We've also included information about her websites in the RSS feed that's in this podcast. And if you want to see her show, it's Fantasy at the Luxor, basically every night at 10:30.
Okay, so now let's go ahead and give John Shaw a call, and we immediately have to confront him because his text messaging has just gotten out of control.
I got it on the first ring, baby.
Are you proud of that?
Yeah, because last week you're like, or was it the week before, you're like, I wonder if you just sit there and wait.
Ooh, but if you're getting an expected call, will you purposely wait a certain number of rings before you answer it?
I mean, let's be honest. I don't get a whole lot of expected calls, but I know at least for today, I was ready. So as soon as I heard the ringer start going, I obviously answered right away.
Okay, let's say somebody is calling you about a job interview, or you're going on a date, or you're about to like apply for a loan. Like it's a serious phone call, and you're looking at it. Are you going to go answer on the first ring, second ring, third, fourth? Like, what are you going to do?
I'll probably go second or third ring, leaning third ring, I would think.
I completely agree with you. I think you don't go first. That seems desperate. Second, you're pushing it. You go middle, second, third ring, though. I think that's the appropriate amount of time. Like, I'm answering this promptly, but I'm not so desperate that I don't have anything else to do.
I mean, if it's like a job interview, I would for sure be probably second ring.
Okay. All right. That's fair. I'm glad that we're talking about phones because I'm pretty upset with you about something today. You have, for some reason, drifted into this pattern of signing your name on text messages.
You know that was an accident, right? I actually didn't mean to do that.
You've done it multiple times now. Don't okay, put. Fair. So
what, I didn't mean to do it. I knew as soon as I did it, I was like, oh, I actually thought to myself. For people who don't know, I sent Nick a text today, which he didn't respond to, of course. I guess that's beyond whatever. But I accidentally, at the end, I put J, which obviously my name's John, so it'd be my first initial. I actually thought it was kind of badass. I'm actually thinking I'm going to do that every time I text you now.
But there's no point in doing it. Why? I know who I'm texting. You don't have to sign off on it. Like if group chat, okay. Like if it's a group chat and you're organizing something like a going away for party for somebody that you don't know everyone involved. Maybe the first time.
I should be angry with you because you didn't respond whatsoever.
There's no need to respond.
It was a question. I could have been waiting around my phone the last 3 hours, just patiently waiting for you.
Well, don't put J at the end of your text message and I won't get mad and put the phone away.
Well, that's a terrible reason to get mad. If you get mad that easy, you need to have more sex.
Who
got him?
Do you know anyone that you could honestly say that person is having too much sex? It's too much.
Of course not. I don't think I've known anyone in my life where I've said that ever.
Yeah, I don't really know anybody. How much?
I don't believe these guys who, you know, you're talking about stories or whatever, and they're, you know, I have a different girl every night. Okay, prove it.
Yeah, that's not possibly true. Like, there's the old thing with Wilt Chamberlain where he came forward and said, I've had sex with 20,000 women, and then somebody did the math, and that meant he would have sex with 2.5 different women every day of his life since the age of 18. And he's like, I may have exaggerated. Like,
yeah. Who would you say are, like, the biggest playboys of our generation? Like, Charlie Sheen? Somebody like that?
It's probably okay. I would actually say that it's probably someone that you've never heard about them because that's probably the real person. But the ones that you kind of hear about are like Charlie Sheen or yeah, that's really the only one. I don't pay attention really to that kind of stuff. It's probably Tommy Lee, anybody no. in a rock band. I mean, I don't think that when you get into that kind of level of fame, I don't think anybody's like doing that much better than anybody else.
I will say, if there's one person, I think, and he kind of flies under the radar, it would be Leonardo DiCaprio.
I think he's kind of known for it, actually. I think he was pretty, I think in his younger days, he was up there.
I mean, he's a badass, because for one, he brings his mother to all the award shows, but yet he has a different model on his arm every time he takes a picture.
Well, I don't think, like, how hard is that at that point? Like, if you're that famous, is it because he's just such a great guy? Like, no, he's a famous dude, and they can probably get a lot of notoriety by essentially being there by his side. Like, that's not, it's not difficult. You show me a bricklayer who's doing that, and that's impressive to me, all right?
Out of everything, you had to pick a bricklayer?
Yeah. What do you got against bricklayers?
I have nothing against bricklayers.
Seems like you do.
I just thought it was an interesting choice of profession that just popped off the top of your head.
Here's the other thing that I wanted to ask you about. How do you feel about people just liking text messages? Like, they don't respond anymore, they just like it?
Oh. I mean, I actually do that from time to time. Like, if I don't have a response and I know the other person, like, is expecting a response, I'll give them a little, you know, thumbs up, or I'll even throw the exclamation points in there. Why not?
Yeah, I don't think the exclamation point is appropriate. I think that's too much. But I don't like it when people do it to me. It pisses me off, but I do it to other people.
Apparently, you're like in a very angry mood today. Apparently, a lot of things have made you mad today.
I'm just an angry person about small things that people do. Like, the minutia is what drives me insane. I don't worry about the big stuff.
I mean, I feel like you're the guy that's in a grocery store that is just judging the shit out of everybody.
No, not really. I mean, I go to the grocery store with my son, and we pick out peppers. So, I mean, maybe before. No, I'm an all-business person at the grocery store. Like, I'm in there. I'm trying to get in and out as fast as I can.
Are you around Christmas time, or say it's a birthday or whatever, and you have, like, you're going to the store for one thing. Are you wanting, like, raid in, raid out, get that object, and you're done? Or are you, like, are you a browser?
No, I'm not a browser at all. I'm task efficient.
Do people even do that anymore? Like, do they just go to, like, Best Buy or one of these, I guess it'd be Meijer or Walmart now, and just, like, browse?
I think
people never do that.
No, I don't think people really do that anymore. I mean, if they do, it's like relaxation shopping. I don't think anybody does that when they're trying to get something done. I think they do that online when they're supposed to be at work.
I may or may not know somebody in my life that literally is on eBay or Amazon probably 18 out of 24 hours a day just trying to find a deal.
What? I've never understood the idea of people who are looking for a deal. They're like, oh, but this is 10% off. Yeah, if you don't buy it, it's 100% off. Think how cheap it is if you don't buy it.
Well, I mean, it's obviously the world we live in, right, where people feel like they need things. So, to each their own, I don't care.
What is something that you feel like you need?
Oh. Like a material object, like something that I feel like I have to buy?
Yeah. Something's on sale. Something's on sale. You're going to stock up. You're like, ooh.
Oh, God. This is really embarrassing, but I'm going to say it anyways. I'm a sucker for, like, candle sales. I don't, you know what? I don't really even get, like, I like candles. Like, I'm not even ashamed of it, but I figured you would make fun of it.
What about the candles is so, what is it? Do you like it? I don't even, why?
I got you. This is like the third time I've gotten you this episode. This is a great, I'm doing great today.
Right. Because I don't understand, like, what do you like about the candle?
This is going to sound really bad.
There's no way it can sound worse.
That's true. The smell, the way it burns, you know, sometimes just the candle looks cool from the outside, like before it burns.
Are you starting fires in the backyard?
I do have a fire from time to time, but I you know what, I'll go on record saying that I would prefer a nice lit candle over a fire in a fire pit any day.
Okay. when you light these candles and stare at them, are you by yourself? Are you with somebody else? Like, is it just you in the room looking at it? Or do you invite company over?
Well, first off, I don't want people thinking I just light the candle and just stare into the flame. I mean, that's not what happens. But, you know, it's like a relaxation, you know, thing, right? You light the candle and, you know, it makes the room smell good and it's like, it's relaxing.
So what are you doing though? You light the, okay, walk me through. You're home alone. You've got some quality John Schull time. You've got one of your favorite candles. What are you going to do?
Well, you know, I grab a bottle of lotion and, you know, try to find Skinamax. No, I'm kidding. You know, I usually turn on the TV or, you know, it's just something that's relaxful. I mean, there's really nothing else to it.
What, do you put the candle next to the TV or is the candle next to you?
Sometimes the candle's next to the TV, but usually the candle, like, is on a, you know, on a,
like a nightstand kind of pedestal.
Yes, a nightstand or like the kitchen counter or something.
How close are we talking? Like, what's your preferred distance between you and the candle?
Oh my gosh. I don't know, 5 to 10 feet.
Okay, so you don't want to be too close, but you want to be close enough. Do you have a fragrance? You have a fragrance preference?
You know, I'm a big sucker for like cinnamon, like the spices. I like the spice.
How big of a candle are you going? You going small, medium, large?
I mean, well, getting the largest on sale is the best deal. So I try to get the largest, and they burn longer.
Okay, like how many candles is the Schull household going through a week?
You realize everyone turned this off 10 minutes ago,
no,
right?
I think either they've turned it off or are incredibly fascinated by the fact that you have candles. Go on, answer the question.
Well, what's the question? How many do I have?
How many candles are you going through a month, let's say?
I mean, probably 5 to 10.
Holy shit. So you're just lighting these things every day.
I mean, I would say at least every other day, if not every day, you know, one of them is being lit for sure.
So you're going to come home, you're going to light it. Like, oh, tough day. Got to light a candle.
Get out of the way, Melissa. You know what time it is.
It's candle time.
It's candle time, honey.
Wow. That is, yeah, that's something.
You weren't expecting that answer, were you?
No, I don't know. Like, how many? Okay, last question about your candle fetish.
Thank God.
How many, like, if it's a good sale, let's say we're talking 25 to 50% off at Yankee Candle. How many candles?
How many candles? I mean, if there's a sale like that, I'm probably coming home with 4 of them.
Wow. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Do you light different candles, or are you going to burn through one all at the same time, or do you not like to mix your fragrances?
I usually don't like to mix the fragrances, but what I will do is I will light one during the day, and then I'll, you know, light another one at night.
Wow.
Well, you know.
Okay.
Whatever. Maybe I'll get like a, you know, a Yankee Candle follower or something out of this. Who knows?
You might be one of the premier Yankee. You're probably the only man I've ever known that's gone to Yankee Candle more than once.
I'm probably the only man you know that that will admit that he likes candles.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think people are probably – there's probably a large contingent of secret candle likers. I could see that. Did you know that in the ranking of Mario Kart characters – Rosalina, Lemmy, Baby Peach, and Baby Daisy are considered to be the worst characters, while Baby Mario, Baby Luigi, Dry Bones, and Light Me are considered to be what's called E-tier characters, as they are like the second worst characters. Hey, what's your new segment?
Well, we didn't really discuss it. So
yeah, we did.
I wanted to ask you.
Yeah, we did. We did discuss it. We discussed it last week.
No, you came up with like have something versus something. Like there's no substance of that. Anyways, there's two things I want to say. One thing is that I'm currently wearing our Spider-Man or my Superman t-shirt that we got at Comic-Con.
God, that still fits?
I can't believe it does. There's even a little room in it, to be honest with you.
You losing weight?
No, not really. And then secondly, I wanted to ask you, the wife and I went on our first date pretty much in months.
Okay.
Last night. Two things happened on this date, which I feel like I need to tell you. One is we went to an Italian restaurant. Anyways, we got a garlic and goat cheese, like, appetizer.
Okay, okay.
I thought it was going to be, like, garlic goat cheese, right? It comes out, it's literally, like, four cloves of garlic on goat cheese, and they gave you, like, some crispy bread to eat it with. Well, my wife didn't want to eat the garlic, the cloves, so I said, fine, I'll eat every single one of them. So I ate, like, five cloves of garlic.
God, an idiot.
This morning, just until recently, like, I could not stop farting garlic. But, like, I didn't have anyone at home besides my daughter and my dog to share this with. So when my wife got home from work, the first thing she said was, why does it smell like fucking garlic in here? Did you shit your pants? I had to say no, even though I really have been farting all day. So my first question is, have you ever eaten something knowing that, like, the next day, the next morning, or even that night, like, you're just, it's gonna be real bad?
No.
You've never had, like fast food or something where you're like, oh shit, this is not gonna be, it's not gonna be a good evening, but I'm gonna do it anyways because it's worth it at the time?
No.
All right. Well, that's good. So that leads me to the second thing. When you're out with your wife or whoever, or friends, can you
my mistress?
Yeah. Can you always tell when it's like the first daters?
Oh, no. The first date, the first couple of dates, I think you can tell pretty easily. I think, like, the dying relationship ones are the ones that are more interesting to me. The one where you look over and, like, they're easily, like, 10 years in and just have nothing to fucking say to each other at all and don't speak. Like, yeah, we're eating and then we're going to leave and continue to not speak. Like, the...
Well, I mean, yeah, it's funny to say that. Yesterday, we were kind of wedged in between two couples. One couple, I assume they were the longtime married couple, though they didn't look very old. But they were both on their cell phones literally the entire meal.
Yeah, that's a longtime married couple right there.
Like, I kept looking over at them thinking, like, you know, they were going to make some kind of eye contact, nothing. But then the other couple, I assume they were on one of their first few dates, because I could hear this guy, like, he was trying to act very suave, including he bought two very, very nice bottles of wine.
Dang.
Like, for two people. And I even heard the server, because we were sharing a table with some space in the middle. Like, I heard the server ask him, like, are you sure you want to buy that second bottle of wine, sir? And then he pointed at the menu, and the guy's like, yeah, yeah, I want that one. I don't care what the price is.
Oh, that's a first couple of dates move. And he's – if that girl is somehow listening, move on. Move on.
I almost wanted to just, like, lean over and be like, hey, guy, like, I'll take one of those bottles of wine off your hands because – you're not making it through both. I can guarantee you that.
How good are you at listening to other people's conversations secretly?
I mean, pretty good. I mean, for instance, like yesterday, like, it was impossible not to want to listen because, you know, if the couple to our left said anything, the cell phone couple, it was probably going to be them fighting, and that was going to be entertaining.
Yeah.
And then literally to our right was this other couple, this presumed new couple, where, like, he didn't let her get a word in.
Ooh.
It was all him.
That's the kind of guy, though, that's going to say, I don't care about the price. I don't care whatever it costs. Nothing's too good for this. What's your name again? I can see, yeah, like, I can, yeah, fucking see that guy.
Well, I don't know fashion at all, right? This guy next to me was wearing Crocs. Okay.
Wait a minute. He was trying to impress with how much he could buy with a bottle of wine, and he had Crocs on at the same time?
Yeah, I mean, he was wearing, like...
Are you...
said boat shoes, but, like boat shorts, like a really nice polo, and then these Crocs.
Did you know the D-tier Mario Kart characters are considered to be Toadette, Wendy, Isabella, Koopa Troopa, Lakuta, or Lakutu, Bowser Jr. C-minus tier is Toad, Shy Guy, and Larry.
Listen, I don't care anything about what you just said. I can hear your blood boiling, and it makes me happy.
Are you? Do you have anything else? Because you obviously, like I knew you wouldn't actually have your segment ready, even though it basically came up with – it honestly took no more than probably 20 seconds of thought.
I still don't know what the segment is.
Okay. Are you ready to do our top five?
I really know what it is, but now I'm just doing it just to bother you, and it makes my day so much better.
I think I'm going to have to calm down and go light a candle. What kind of candle did you suggest?
One with, maybe do like midnight oil, you know, like a lavender.
Are you knowledgeable enough to be a candy, like, could you be a candle salesman? Could you go into Yankee Candle right now if they hired you and just take over?
Goddamn right I could.
Nice. Okay, so for people who haven't tuned out already after this fascinating discussion about Crocs and Yankee Candle, our top five is top five Mario Kart characters. Now, are you going with the ones that you think are the best, or are you going with your favorite ones that you just like?
Oh, I'm going with the it's a mixture. I'm going with a mixture.
Okay. What's your number five?
So, like, my number five is Luigi.
Way only too because, low for Luigi.
Only because you have to put him on the list.
Wait a minute. Well, okay, I agree with that sentiment that you have to put either Mario or Luigi on the list. Do you have Mario higher than you have Luigi?
I do, yes.
Okay. Significantly higher?
Yes, kind of, yes.
Okay. I have Mario at number five. I mean, he's...
Now, do you have Luigi higher?
I do have Luigi higher.
Interesting.
For me, it's just like, it's Mario Kart. You can't not put Mario on there. But in terms of playing him, like, it's not that fun to be the main character when you could be other people. It's kind of cool to be other people. That's why I can't put Mario any higher.
And I only put Luigi on there, like I said, just because you have to. You know, you can't leave off one or the other. So he gets, like, a sympathy nod at number five.
Okay, who's your number four?
Donkey Kong.
Ooh, okay. I went next level on you and went Funky Kong.
You know, I didn't know if we were doing, like, you know, like the different versions or whatever. But fun. I mean, they're both good. I mean, they're both fun to play with.
Okay, who's your number three?
So if anyone checked out my Instagram or is, I kind of made fun of you for this character, but I actually really like him, and it's Toad.
Okay. Wait a minute. You go and apparently there's all different kinds of colors. There's blue Toad, red Toad, kid Toad. You just going straight Toad?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm just going the original Toad.
Okay. I'm starting to go out of the box on mine. My number three is Shy Guy.
Okay. I mean, Shy Guy is always one of those characters, like when you're playing Mario Kart and, like, you know, you're just sitting there drinking, you think you have it made, the next thing you know, fucking Shy Guy goes rolling past.
Yeah, Shy Guy doesn't mess around. Once he gets his speed built up, he gets going. Plus, he has an awesome celebration at the end. I can't remember it. I just remember that I saw his celebration at the end. I was like, that's my dude. That's my dude.
So my number two is Mario.
Yeah. Okay, my number two is Luigi.
Oh, shit. The reason why I have Mario, you know, really Mario should be number one, right? He's the face of the franchise. You know, he's the LeBron James, blah, blah, blah. But he doesn't, you know, like kind of what you said earlier, I don't play with him a lot. But, you know, like he has to be one or two for me. So he's number two.
I understand that idea that, like, he has to be up there simply because he is, like, the... It's Mario Kart, and he's Mario. But he's just not that – it's like, who are you going to pick? Ooh, Mario. What kind of ice cream are you going to get? Ooh, vanilla.
What kind of candle are you going to get? Oh, just a cinnamon one. No big deal.
What's your wildest candle that you've ever bought? Like, when did you really go out there on a fragrance?
Wow, I mean, I would say – I mean, the infused ones are the best. Like, the ones where, like, they're actually infused with, like – real pine tree or, you know, real spruce or, you know, like real Daisy, because those ones are like, I mean, they'll hit you. They'll hit you hard.
I don't even know what to say. I hope we have the same number one, because it's possible. No, I know who you have. Okay, let's each one of us gets a guess. You guess who you think mine is going to be, and I'll guess who I think yours is going to be.
I'm going to say you went with Koopa Troopa.
I'm going to say you went with Bowser.
You are correct.
I knew it. I knew it. Why did you pick Bowser?
For a few reasons. One, he's a badass. He's the biggest physical character in the game, I believe. I could be wrong on that, but I think that's right.
You are.
He always seems to, like, his cars are just always, like, even on the other versions when he has a bike or, like, you know, a motorcycle, like, his cars just look the coolest. And I've always liked, like, when he fires a red shell or something and he does that laugh, but it's like a Bowser laugh.
Oh, he does, like, that.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
Wow. You actually did that pretty well.
Yeah, I'm prepared. I come to this show ready. My number one is Wario.
Oh, that's lame. Wario sucks.
How are you going to say Wario sucks? Got that
How
mustache?
Are you gonna put Wario above Mario?
Because Wario's funner. The bad guy's always funner. Do you want me to? Okay, I'm going to read the rest of this tier list, scientific tier list. C+ is Tanuki Mario, Inkling Boy, Villager, and Peach. B is Mario, Luigi, Ludwig, Iggy, Medium Me, A-, Rosalina, King Boo, and Link. S tier, which is apparently almost the best, is Bowser, Morton, Heavy Me, Waluigi, Donkey Kong, and Roy. And then SS tier, the best of the best, is Wario, Dry Bowser, Waluigi, Donkey Kong, and Roy.
All right. I mean, I'm surprised that Roy is up there. But
I don't even know who Roy is. Do you have any honorable mentions?
So Yoshi is up there, Koopa Troopa. I had Link as well. Koopa Troopa was really, like, I like him a lot, but he couldn't crack. I also like Dry Bones. He's always fun to play with. But go ahead, make your sexual innuendo.
No. I got nothing to say. Nothing to say.
You know, if you want to be an asshole, you can always be like Baby Peach. Or, you know, one of the babies.
Yeah,
you
know, that's never fair when people do that crap.
What are your honorable mentions?
I'm a fan of the guy on the broom. Kamix. Cutlix. I like that guy.
Yeah.
I do like Dry Bowser. I think he's pretty cool. I like the big... I like some of the... You know, I don't really give a shit.
All right, that's going to go ahead and do it for this episode of the Profoundly Pointless Podcast. I want to thank Mariah so much for joining us. I want to thank you guys so much for listening. We really appreciate it. If you get a chance, like, download, subscribe, share. We love hearing from you guys. Some of the comments that you guys have sent in have just been, either insulting and really funny, or they've really been uplifting and kind of motivated us to keep doing this. And I've said this before, but now that we kind of have our stuff together, we're going to do a lot more to try and feature some of the things that you guys have been saying to us on this show. That's going to start next episode, which will actually be our 1-year anniversary, our 52nd show. Quick note, we are still doing the Game of Thrones contest. I know that I've said that the last couple of episodes, but it's true. We've got a lot of entries that we're kind of going through, and maybe we made this point system too complicated, but either way, we're going to get this done, and we're still working on who the winner is going to be. Coming up in our next episode, it's our 52nd, like I mentioned, so I think we're going to do something special, and maybe have another giveaway too.